What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
A lot of noise about Ole Miss very recently, and then that got shot down real quick. Like that fell apart real quick. There are some things that I think we have to ask ourselves as we consider like which way the winds are blowing with this with the PJ Haggerty deal. Like, does NC State even have enough NIL money left to pay the reported asking price of $4 million? For PJ Haggerty, what about the possibility that NC State might actually be like targeting others?
Sure.
That like if they wind up hitting with somebody else, do they move on? Like, do they even, you know, like, do they even need Haggerty at that point or want Haggerty at that point? Another question is like, who wants who more in this scenario? Like, is what we're hearing about PJ Haggerty and NC State because that's what PJ and his camp are putting out, or is it because that's what NC State is putting out, or is it a combination of the two? You gotta ask yourself these questions. I know they're largely unanswerable at this stage, but like I said, until it's done, it's not done.
No, it is kind of funny. It's like everything reminds me of something else. This now just reminds me of David Jones. I mean, I guess key difference is if David was going to play college, it was going to be back at Memphis. But it's, I just feel like we're all doing the same things because you are the one that was very adamant. If David hears what he wants to hear, like he wants to be a pro. Like, yep. it just feels like it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, the assumption has been and still is to a certain extent that he will be back at the PJ Haggerty will be back in college next season, but that does not mean that, you know, again, like if he puts himself in front of pick a number, NBA people and 90% of them tell him, you know, give him like a mid second round, low second round, whatever grade. I think there is a chance. I'm not saying it's a strong chance or a bad chance. Like, but there is a chance that he stays in the draft and goes from there because, yeah, I'm not so sure that money is truly at the end of the day, like if it's NBA or college, I think NBA is like, I think he's going to try his chances with the NBA. Whether the money is as good as it would be if he came back to college or not.
Munns, we really appreciate it. Good stuff, my man.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
That is Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. When we come back, let's get into the list. Let's talk about some of those NBA playoff games that we saw over the weekend and get more into the world of sports. We'll do all that next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. There are a lot of different types of moms, working moms, stay-at-home moms, stepmoms, grandmoms, even pet moms. It doesn't matter what type of mom, they all want diamonds from Robert Irwin Jewelers. Buy mom bigger, brighter diamonds during the Mother's Day diamond sale going on right now. You can check out the 2-carat lab-grown diamond stud earrings that are $799 while supplies last. There's also the To the Moon and Back gift set. It includes a To the Moon and Back diamond pendant and 24-carat gold-dipped rose that starts at only $199. Also, the Flexi Diamond Bangle bracelets, always a popular item. You can buy one or you can stack a few for a bolder look. Those are available in white, yellow, and rose gold. They also have the perfect gift for your pet mom, a diamond paw necklace for only $119. I'm sure with as much as my wife loves our new dog, I'm sure that's exactly what I'll get her that she'll love. They also have free financing, 12 months at 0% interest, or you can take up to 60 months to pay. Bigger, brighter diamonds, all at better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers, the Mother's Day sale is going on right now, 5 locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. Let's get into the list. Herd, do you have that Instagram post?
I can pull it up. Yes, sir. I got it.
Let's talk about college to the NBA. All right, Herd, so there was an infographic going around, and I saw Ross Dellinger, I believe. There was a, I don't know if it was a think tank, if it was a collection of ADs. There has been a giant study that's been done about the transfer portal, number of guys going to the draft. Read me the tagline of that post that you just showed me.
Okay, it starts off, Jeff, with 106 players have filed for the 2025 NBA draft.
All right.
This is the lowest in 10 years. They were saying it's an interesting trend that developed every year since NIL started. The number of people in the draft have decreased. So in 2021, 353 people declared for the draft. In 2022, it was 283. In 2023, it was 242. In 2024, it was 201. 2025, this year, is only 106 people.
Okay, so a few of those things make all the sense in the world. So basically, what the decrease was about 40 to 50 players every year, starting from the 300 number. Yep. And then this year, the number basically goes in half. Well, that kind of makes sense to me also because everyone is saying the numbers have gone through the roof this year and basically everything doubled. And so now you've got this situation where guys are, I mean, there's realistically a lot more guys that can make a lot more money playing college basketball than they can make playing NBA basketball and also fewer games. But the thing that I actually find is interesting is even with the numbers being so low, there's still only going to be 60 guys drafted. And that's what makes it even more insane when you think about it. Even 5 years ago, 300 plus guys, there were still 60 draft picks.
Yeah.
But what I find interesting is, are we going? I think the real key, though, is are all these guys going to get their number? Because you and I were talking slightly off the air about PJ Haggerty. And so with PJ, Munz has just mentioned that what PJ wants to hear is that the NBA likes him enough to take him. Even if it's, hey, we'll take it with our second, whatnot, if he hears that he wants to go to the NBA. But now more than ever, it just shows, like, if you're just kind of a, let's say, like a 7 out of 10 basketball player, you should try to just stay in college forever. Like, that's going to be the most money you're going to make playing basketball. And I know you've been advocating to a lot of your guys that maybe aren't going to get the big offer to start from the Power 4 school. Hey, go somewhere and play, and you're going to wind up making more money in the end. Because, and this is, my dad's been telling me this has been a trend that he's seen in baseball where a lot of the guys that want to go SEC right off the bat, well, a lot of these schools are saying, we don't really have the room for you, but go to Sunbelt school, whatnot, and then we'll end up taking you. Well, these kids are doing the path that you're talking about, and they're having much bigger offers after a year or year or two at these Sunbelt schools.
No, I would most definitely, you know, I would go that route for sure. Now, baseball, I'm a Yankee guy. I'm probably not into it like your dad. Baseball is so technical that I would be scared Now, maybe this is might be my ignorance to the level of your dad on, but I would be scared, like, at baseball, let's say you go to the Sun Belt and you don't really hit that many balls.
Yep.
I know in basketball, the guys I'm talking about for sure will be able to score,
no,
say, 10 points. And
so
then,
it's a similar situation in this. The only difference between baseball and basketball, number one, the numbers are not as high. Mm-hmm. The dollar figures are not as high because there's not as many schools that are – baseball right now is kind of a vanity project. If you want to be good, you got to spend money, and you're not going to get a lot of return on it. But the other key difference is you can get drafted out of high school. And so what it used to be was SEC schools, the big baseball programs, they would go after a decent number of guys that were projected to be high draft picks, and then they just pray on draft day that the guys fall and that their number's not as high. But now what you're starting to see is it's still a lot. It's still kind of pretty similar in that, listen, if you can't hit in the Sun Belt, you aren't going to hit in the SEC either. So it's kind of the same. It's a, you either can make shots. If you can't make shots in the Sun Belt, you're not going to make shots in the SEC. But it's an opportunity to go and play because now so many of these colleges are doing exactly what we're talking about in basketball, which is they're largely just recruiting off of the portal.
Yeah, mid-major, JUCO. I done been in some Power Four schools. They had the top NAIA and D2 schools,
yep,
on their desk. The top 10 rebounders in the league, the top 10 scorers. So I like this for everybody. One, I think the NBA will be getting a better product. Two, I think the NBA will be getting a more realistic product. When you look at 2021, 353 guys is pretty much, not to hurt nobody's dream, over half of them had no chance in Snowball to be on the NBA court. But you take some agent who came out of the corner store community center that didn't hype his family up to tell him he can get a workout.
Yep.
But, or you got kids that were too good, you know, but probably had to start off as a two-way or G League player. Just stay in college and make real money now. Now when you come out, I just think it's good because now we're not rushing so many jobs. Now I think things can work itself out because with kids being able to stay in school longer, that gives stars chance to go and retire. You know, and it is more opportunity with it being a more of a money flow.
Okay, here's my only downstream effect, and I feel like this is going to impact you more than, like, right now I'm with you because essentially what we're saying is the guys that are in the draft are guys that should be in the draft, and that makes for a better product. There's less, I don't know, we're just picking this guy on potential. We're picking this guy thinking he can play. But the downstream effect that I start to see is, man, you don't have to be all that good to make a lot of money. And I just start to worry about guys like you that are putting together teams every summer. I think the parents are going to go even more insane. Because now we're talking about average, you know, Mac starter can make 500, 600 grand a year, maybe make a million, who knows? And then all of a sudden, like, it's just going to leak to y'all. And all of a sudden, if you're not playing little Johnny, all of a sudden you're taking money out of their pocket. And it's like, that's my concern is the downstream effects.
Yeah, it already is.
And I know it's crazy to begin with.
This is making it worse. Because one thing I have realized this year, parents have always been, you know, I love a lot of parents. Let me say that, though. But parents have always been what they should more about their kid when,
yes,
we have to be more about the team and program. So they kind of been a little crazy, delusional, thinking people are better than they are. It's life, right? We all think that. But this year, what I have realized is, and first of all, I got kids that I'm dealing with that has agents at 9th, 10th, 11th grade. That's the first thing, right? Some of them good enough, some of them ain't, right, to have an agent. But like I say, these days, anybody's just like throwing spitballs at the wall. A guy just willing to get a kid because, he might make some money in college.
Yeah, what if he pops?
Right? Yeah. They ain't about the NBA no more. But another thing because of NIL, and now you can use the fake excuse about name, image, likeness, it feels like this year the selfish level have went up for the kids and parents. They always have, but now they complain, but they're like, man, we got to make sure his brand is straight and all that. That type of crap.
Yes.
You know? And the third thing I would say, Jeffrey, is we going to keep our culture no matter what. You know, no matter how the game changes, we will evolve. But you got to have a culture. You know, I done had a couple managers or agents or kid acting like they need to be somewhere we can because they might have a appearance or a potential.
Yeah.
No, we're not going for none of that. This is the schedule, you know, and when we start, this is the schedule you got to commit to, and that's everybody. Because, you know, we only get them on weekends because it ain't like back when me and you was in school where everybody lived in Memphis and you could practice on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yep.
All my practices and games are on weekends.
Yep.
So they're important.
When the guys are together. Yeah.
Yeah, when they're together. So missing a weekend is like a practice is a big deal. Like,
well, I mean, it's one of the things to go back to Tuomas. Like, part of the reason why I don't hold the record against him, he had two practices since becoming the interim head coach. And that's the NBA schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. People don't know this, though. NBA actually has less practice, and I shouldn't be telling the kids.
Especially once the season
than
starts.
College
and
high school.
Yeah.
That's why some NBA players will tell you they get bored quick. Was in college, they got to wake up, do all this strength and conditioning. They got to go to class. They got to do individuals at 12. Then they got to come back and practice. And the NBA, you may have an hour and a half practice, and you're just a millionaire and celebrity for the rest of the day. And you be like, oh, shoot, I got a whole day just left. Or you might be in a city that you don't like, and they just looking up stuff to eat or going. Now, some of them go do extra work, but actually, they only true week of a lot of work is training camp.
Yep.
Outside in, it's just 100%. Adjustments, film, study. That's why when you get to the NBA, you have to be a dog or somebody who really disciplined.
Self-motivated,
only keep your body right. Work out, because you're going to have a bunch of people around you kissing your butt. You're going to have a lot of food around you like Zion Williams. You have to get up. Not calling him out. I'm just I'm just saying if you're not.
He's a favorite of this show. He's a favorite of this show. Because he went down to New Orleans and had a bunch of money, and he did exactly what we would all do with a bunch of money in New Orleans. We got really fat.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing. They buy cars because throughout the day, even in high school, we have hard practices. I'm not going to say no name. NBA players be complaining if a practice lasts over because they done got so spoiled. Over an hour and a half, be like, we actually had to run some laps today. You're like.
Well, it's funny.
Basketball.
On the drive back, I was listening to Joakim Noah was on Pardon My Take. And, you know, Joe played here for 2 years. And one of the things that he was talking about was what the difference between great players and other players are. And it's like, you would be shocked at how boring the greats are because they're so, to your point, they're so disciplined. It's, I'm eating the same, I've got my chef. I'm eating, like, everything is just a routine. And it's just something that is boring, but it's like they become a basketball machine versus somebody like Joakim that's interested in other things. And the other point that he made that I actually thought was interesting. So Joakim's obviously got, his dad is a French tennis player. His mom's a Swedish supermodel. I think he went to the international school in New York City. And then he played, I think, at some of the big prep schools. But he also still has, like, he had French citizenship through his dad, and he was talking about the amount of French guys that are coming through and how they have the academy program. And, you know, they start to identify the players at a certain age, but it didn't matter. Like, the 10-year-olds played at noon, then the 12s played at 2, the 14s at 4, 16s at 6, and then the 18-year-olds at 8. And so you see everyone that's a level above you all day and you realize like what it actually takes. But there's also the reality of like they're all in these programs, so they're all taught a team game. And he was starting to wonder, you know, now with how it is in America where you can make all this money. And he pointed out, he's like, I'm four guys making money. But he did point out, he goes, it hurts the team concept because everybody's fighting for themselves. And I don't know, like, I that's where I start to wonder if, I think initially you're right in that I think it's better for the NBA because I think you're going to have more players that are quality, but I do start to wonder as now we're just taking, everything is year to year, everyone is just going to get more and more selfish, everyone is just going to keep bouncing. It's like, how does that actually develop better basketball players? I mean, I guess you could say, you have to be good in order to keep bouncing around, but in terms of producing, like, I don't think it's a coincidence right now that like the guys that we're still watching have come through, like Jokic, the academies. Even SGA came through the Canadian program, and obviously it's a little bit different.
Yeah, but he went to high school here.
Right. But, I mean, he's still playing the national
program. Yeah, when he was young.
Program, everything. Like, he came through that program. I mean, like, it is interesting how we're moving away from fewer. Like, you have Ant, who came up exactly the way. And I think that, but that's the thing is, Ant will get used as an example. And I would just scream, Ant is touched by God.
For sure.
Like, you can't teach his body is ever, like, he's touched
by God.
I've been around
that kid since he was 15.
Right.
That kid, I went to scout that kid. I don't know if I said it on this show or John and Jason. Where I was at Under Armour at the time, and I would always go scout the next game we about to play. And I'm a good friend of the guy that had him, Winfrey Jordan out of Atlanta. He played for Atlanta Express. So I go scout the game like I always do, bunch of players. And I called my coaches because they was back in the room. I said, it's a kid taking off from the free throw line that Winfrey got. And, you know, we don't overhype players. If you know anything about Memphis, Tennessee, Thaddeus Young, Sean Williams, Quintel Woods, Penny, they come back home in the summer. It's a local guy picking them up full court at the bluff for the camera, like, you ain't this. That's just how Memphis is. So we ain't just quick to give fame. Well, these days people do because Instagram went out when we were in school. So now kids do give it. It could be somebody coming out the 12th man at the bench at MUS. His boys be under the, you're the GOAT, you're the GOAT. We weren't like that. It was like hard on
No, it is fascinating. That is, I think, a big, because you and I are roughly the same age. Anytime somebody got like a little bit of pop, it's like we couldn't wait to build them down. Whereas now it's like they just think like they become like the player's agent.
Yeah,
it's like, do you think you're gonna get money off of that? Like, I just remember like when every guy that I knew like got an offer, we're like, well, that team sucks. Like, I still hate you.
Yeah. I do. Which I will say this: the way the kids, and I hate I'm talking like a young guy because I'm up in age, but when I say glazing and stuff, I got to hear this around the kid. No, like the kid, like I'm used to going to a concession stand, just buying a regular hot dog without it being a glizzy. Like I just got to hear.
No, the amount of internet culture has changed and it's like everything is just so fast. And it's like.
You must know what I'm talking about, Joe. These kids off the chain with these. He know what I'm talking about.
Well, no, like the first time I heard glizzy, I was like, what? That's a hot dog? Someone's going to have to explain that leap to me.
It's a professional guy I know that I feel sorry for. He goes and get two, and I'm about to say glizzy, but he goes and get two hot dogs at Peace Jam. Next thing he know, the kids are all recording him talking about Coach eating glizzies, and he like, what is going on? And it's an older guy, and I'm like, hold on, y'all, chill. What is going on here?
But like, that's the whole thing. It's like, it has to be filmed, then it's going to be put on, like... Every media outlet.
This is amazing.
But I say that to say, some of the stressful stuff they go through, I wouldn't want to be a part of that. But I kind of do wish we had Instagram because I was like a popular guy in school that I was cool with everybody. And the way the kids make you feel now, Thad and them was the star. So I averaged single digits, right? But this guy's averaging single digits now. And if you were cool with everybody, man, people on their Instagram talking, man, you the man, and you would have.
And it's just where I want to take every single one of these kids and go, like, you need to go to boys' school. Because you know what boys' school does? It builds thick skin. Because it doesn't matter how high you think you are, like, there's going to be somebody that just rips you to shreds. And,
that's true,
like, it helps in life. Like, I'm sure, like, everyone will do the, oh, that's bullying. It's like. Sometimes it's good to get ripped a little bit and to not think that your crap doesn't stink.
Yeah, we're not taking it to, like,
right.
Bullying.
Correct.
When you said boys' school, you didn't mean, like, Christian Brothers MUS.
No, that's what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Because you ain't got no girls. Okay.
No, not only that. And, like, there's, like, literally every single guy that starts to, like, strut a little bit, there's, like, five guys, like, that smell a wounded gazelle in the Serengeti. And they're just like, we're just going to, like, take this guy down.
Getting ripped to me, this is how I feel about getting ripped, and I tell my coaches this in the van. You got the regular getting ripped where somebody's just letting you know, bruh, you only had 2 points. Now when you get past that with the personal ripping, I only will slightly allow ripping when the other guy they're ripping is a ripper too.
Yeah.
I don't like it when the other guy's not a ripper and you come.
You also quickly establish there are guys that can dish it but can't take it out, which were always my favorite. Like, it's like when you find someone that like really thinks he can dish it, and then you just like watch them just like turtle up. Oh, it's the best.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Like there needs to be like
a balance.
Yeah.
Because I don't like, because some people just not, even I'm from the, I know we are from different, I'm from the inner city, and you got some people who They're just not them type of people. So get a couple in, but don't. That's how I think bullying started. Don't just, they haven't said anything back to you. Obviously, they're not that type of person. It's almost like fighting. Like, if you hit a person twice and they ain't swung back, they don't want to fight. So no. What's the point of picking them up, throwing them down, stumping them? They don't want to fight.
Bullying starts with mob mentality. Because, like what you're saying, if the only the kid that rips never gets ripped, then everyone just starts to gang up on whoever he's ripping. Because that guy, that person always picks the easiest target.
Mm-hmm.
Like 10 times out of 10, that's how it happens. So you have to have someone that balances that. Like you gotta bring that out. All right, speaking of SGA. All right, my other overreaction from this weekend. This is a big series for your boy SGA. And here's why. With NBA talking culture what it is, which is everything is just excessively dramatic and we make sweeping knee-jerk reactions, everything. He's going up against Jokic. And if he has the same series like he did against the Grizzlies, because let's also be clear, the Thunder did not need SGA to be all world. They needed him to just essentially do what he did and they moved on in a sweep. But he was not. There were multiple games where you did not sit there and go, the MVP of the league is on the floor. But there's one thing about Jokic, for better or worse, and he had games in the Clippers series where he ended up costing him. Like he had a bunch of turnovers, I think, in game 3 and 6, and like it ended up costing him. But every time Jokic is on the floor, you sit there and go, that guy's different. And like I really think like if he winds up just having a mediocre series and Jokic is the best player on the floor, I think this is going to be one of those ones where we're going to start to probably have unfair conversations about SGA. Is he a free throw merchant? Is this the new Harden? Is this like that's just how this thing works.
Let me ask you this, Jeff, before we get into this. What if Joker do so good that some people become a prisoner of the moment and start saying he should be the MVP? Because that would be cheating, even though I do think they do look at some of the playoffs. It only supposed to be what was done in the regular season.
Okay, so I do think, I think the voting had to be in before the play-in.
And that's what people say supposed to happen. But people have thought when it was this close before, and it was a series, some people have made her
win. Oh, no, so what I think is going to happen is, he's still going to win the MVP because the voting's already done. But what is going to happen is if Joker's awesome and SGA's just fine, it's going to be like the every time someone wants to start, because SGA's going to put up numbers. Every time someone puts up numbers, everyone's just going to talk about like he's empty stat guy. Even though it's not fair.
Kind of like the Hakeem Dave Robinson, except they won't be holding each
correct.
Other when he got the MVP.
Yes.
And I was so young, but everybody keeps talking about how bad he did him. And it's crazy because Dave Robinson is a really, really great center of all times. I think SGA going to be fine, though. I think, to me, they will win the series. It might be in 6 or 7. I think where SGA make a name for himself out, because then it'll be a mano-a-mano, is when he have to take on Ant-Man or Steph Curry. Then you have to step up. Because I was telling you off air, Ant-Man is the only reason that I can – say without a doubt that the NBA is not rigged. Because every other game we've been watching outside of the Timberwolves, guys are win by 30 this game, lose by 30 the next. It's almost like let's get to the 7th game. Ant-Man, I know for a fact the NBA did not want you to sweep Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. I know for a fact the NBA is not doing better with you taking out Luka and LeBron in 5 games. He's the only thing to let me say if it is a script, he's going against it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I guess I would also argue Cleveland just goes against the script. Like, do they really want – I know they lost last night, but, I mean, I think the biggest problem with everyone that does the whole NBA's rigged is I think everyone loses sight of why does it feel that way? It always feels that way, and to me, Harden is actually an example of this. It makes you realize there's really only like 5 to 10 guys that are at the level of whatever team they're on, they're contenders. And LeBron has been this forever, but there's such a difference between the 15th best player in the world and the 3rd best player in the world. And it's why To a certain degree, I think we overdo it with ring culture, but I do also recognize the playoffs matter more because the field is shrinking and every team is good at a certain point. And what do you do against the other good teams? Well, that matters. What we start to see is, okay, there's really only a handful of these guys that, like CJ McCollum used to be like the example of, puts up the big numbers, and then when he'd get into the playoffs, like you'd watch him shrink. CJ McCollum really wasn't that bad of a player, but it's like, was CJ McCollum Steph Curry? No, he was not. It's kind of the same thing with Harden. It's like, is Harden better than 90% of the NBA? Probably at times, like when he's healthy at his prime. Like, I don't know if he still is, but like peak Harden, yeah. Was Harden good enough that you could just say, this guy, whatever team he's on, is a winner? No, he was not.
But that's the issue, not to cut y'all, Brad. CJ McCollum was a good example, but now we're going into levels. Harden's supposed to be a guy that does that. Like, people are ripping Jalen Green now. Even though he's young, he's the number one pick. He's a guy that's supposed to do that. James Harden, it is debates out there where people are saying James Harden is better than Dwayne Wade. That James Harden is the third, fourth shooting guard out the after Jordan and Kobe. No, look this up when y'all get offline. These are real. Somebody had to come.
No, it's a numbers-based argument. And that's why it's like, I've never been the guy that says stats are meaningless, but I do think when everyone presents to me a case for a certain player based on numbers, I usually check out because numbers can easily be manipulated.
Yeah, to a certain extent. Now, I do think if you want
to... have to be a great player to be able to take advantage of that, and I acknowledge that. I'm not saying James Harden sucks, but to your point, it's like, when he got to the Rockets and they just gave him the ball 95% of the time, course he's going to have numbers that are insane.
He would call. This is where I think numbers matter a little bit, and this is where we might disagree, Jeff, because we never talked about this before. I do think, for people who say LeBron the GOAT, those numbers are worthy if we was in court for a realistic situation of being the GOAT. And I'm still a Jordan guy. I'm a Jordan and LeBron guy. I can't lie. But LeBron did play so many more years, so I can defend Jordan. But when you're talking about 40,000 in points, 10 in rebound, 15,000, that's incredible. And there's no way, if people that want to say it because of, that's the one time I would use numbers, because he's breaking all-time high records in every category. Triple-doubles, assists, rebounds. He's top 10 in every category. One, even outside of talking championships, I mean, if somebody made that case, I can't say I'm mad or they're not making a realistic case that should be honored.
No, I'm with you. I guess the number that I wouldn't build LeBron's case around is never the number that gets used. And it would always be number of games played and number of minutes played. Because in this day and age where everybody's playing reduced minutes and everybody's playing reduced schedules and everybody's doing load management, dude shows up. He's 40 years old. And yes, I make fun of him too when he conveniently, after they get beat, announces why my knee was hurt. He still played. And to me, like, that's the biggest problem that I have with the NBA right now is you don't know who's going to play every single night. And I'm not, I also can acknowledge, like, I've heard the arguments, the amount of spacing, the amount of movement. They're not just throwing the ball into the post and everybody's standing around. Like, I understand there are reasons for why guys are playing reduced minutes. But at the same time, it's like, man, what am I paying you for? Like, I'm paying you to play basketball. And, like, that's my whole deal with LeBron is, the legacy of LeBron is guy for an unbelievable amount of time was not only the best player, but showed up night after night after night after night. And by the way, if he's on the floor, you got a chance.
Kendrick Perkins said this morning, if Steph Curry win another ring and finals MVP, he should be thrown in the GOAT conversation at that point.
Steph's a fascinating case study because there's also an argument, I think, for Steph in that while Steph may not be patient zero, Steph did change how the entire NBA plays basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But Do I think Steph is overall a better player than LeBron James? No, I do not. Like, I just don't.
I like Kevin Durant. I seen him this weekend. Him and Thad is cool, right? So I probably shouldn't be saying this publicly. There are people who think Kevin Durant is better than Steph, and that's okay. But I really think that if it weren't for Steph Curry, I had some against them giving him both final MVPs, and the reason was I feel like Steph.
Well, that was a make good because they gave Iguodala, the most undeserving human being of all time, the MVP, the first one. When really LeBron was the MVP, but they lost in six games.
Yeah.
But everyone that watched that series knows LeBron James was the MVP of that series.
For sure.
But that, I felt like that was a make good, and everybody was annoyed that Durant just went to the Warriors.
Yeah, I feel like I was talking about the finals MVP, they gave Durant two of them. Everybody felt they should have gave Steph one because Steph actually made the way for Durant to come over here.
Yeah,
because
he had a bad ankle and he only had $44 million contract.
Yeah, he made a way for him to come. He opened it up. I feel like he made him a better leader. Like, no, I'm not the guy that hops on Durant, but ever since he left Golden State, especially when he was in the West, to have you, Bradley Beal, and Booker not even make a play-in game, that got to be one of the worst things studied in NBA history.
Oh, I mean, Durant is – I put Durant and Aaron Rodgers in the same category in this sense. I think they're better talents than they are players. Because Kevin Durant did things that you just can't teach. Like, I just simply say this. Somebody to be as big as he is and have a hand – how many seven-footers do we see that can't shoot a free throw? The guy handles the basketball like he's a point guard. Like, he's done things where I go, I don't know how he does that. Aaron Rodgers, the way he would throw the football, the things he could do on the move and all that, it's like, he was the scariest player to go up against. But at a certain level, like, your team accomplishments do matter. It's why I can't stand when now nerds do the wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. Yeah, they are. Are they overvalued? But yeah, maybe a little bit. But they're... There's a reason why Tom Brady's win-loss record is what it is. There's a reason why, like...
Yeah, I think the quarterbacks have a big impact
The great quarterbacks tend to have great win-loss records.
Yeah, you can use that argument more so with, like, an Aaron Donald or something.
Yeah.
Like, that's dominating that. He can't control it, but a quarterback, I think you got to bring in...
He's got the football in his hands every time they snap it.
I'm going to tell you how bad Phoenix did this year. When you called me and I was in Phoenix, y'all, Durant was at the games. Bradley Beal was at the games. Book, I'm like, people were shocked. I'm like, they're all like, what else they got to do? They need to come watch some good basketball. I mean,
they're not doing something else.
They're not playing.
They at the house.
Yeah. It was this or Cancun. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, there's something that's happening in the NFL that's annoying me, and I want to see if this is just me being old curmudgeon-y. So I'll talk about that with her next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
ESPN. All right, Herd, there's a new trend going around, and obviously it happens just because after the NFL draft, and I can acknowledge there are several factors at play. Number one, we've gone to the college style where the NFL used to basically say, based on your position group, you could wear these numbers. And the NFL got away from it. You know, we're not going to do the no fun league. And so now we have defensive linemen that wear zero. We're single digits. I don't know if this is a byproduct, or I don't know if this is something about the guys that we're seeing today. I am out on the guy that gets drafted calling up the legend and saying, can I wear your number? And what ruins this is you had a cool moment where Warren Moon, Cam Ward wears one, and Warren Moon, like, they have the nice moment of, all right, I'll let the quarterback wear number one. But then it turns into, can Abdul Carter call up LT and say, can I wear 56? Well, first off, you didn't wear 56. Like, and also, I kind of agree with LT's answer, which is like, go make your own number. Like, go make your own legacy. Also, if I'm LT, and yeah, the off-the-field stuff's a little colorful, but there's a legitimate argument to be made. I'm the greatest defensive player in the history of the NFL. I'm just going to have like a first round pick. Like, we don't know what this guy's career is going to be. Like, and then Abdul Carter runs into the situation where, okay, well, he's at Penn State and the really good defenders at Penn State all get 11. And so then he's got to call up Phil Simms and say, well, can I wear 11? I think we honestly, I'm dead serious about this. I think the NFL just needs to go back to these position groups wear these numbers. The single digits are either quarterbacks, you know, 0 through 19 is quarterback, 20s, 30s, 40s, your running backs, DBs. I guess some linebackers were in there in the 40s. I don't feel like we ever saw linebackers were the 30s, though, right? I think we did see some, like, I feel like 44 was always a decent linebacker number.
Yeah, I think it depended on where they were lined up.
Yeah.
Like if we had outside, inside.
Yeah, I think it was out. I do think you're right about that. I think outside linebackers were, but then.
Because then where does Carter go? Edge, he can cover.
I don't know. But then, like, it was always easy. Centers were in the 50s. Guards were the 60s. Tackles were the 70s. Yep. Our receivers were in the 80s. We got receivers wearing 22 now. Like, that's a running back number. And then, most D linemen were in the 90s. Yeah. I think we got to go back to that, because what we're doing is, I just feel like it's just setting up all these guys to, like, how dare you? You want to wear Lawrence Taylor's number? And then, like, I don't actually think Abdul Carter was like,
I don't think it's a slight.
Yeah, like, I don't think,
like,
it was like
not being disrespectful.
Yeah, like, yeah. I think it actually came from a place of, like, honestly, I think it was probably like at Penn State, the best defensive guy wore number 11. Like, they did this at LSU. The heart and soul of the team got 18. And so all these guys would wear 18. And so, like, I think it was coming from a place of, they gave me 11 at Penn State for all the tradition. Like, I want to start a tradition. I can't wear, like, let's make 56 a tradition. But then it also gets to a larger point that I always had is, I think in general, retiring numbers is stupid. I believe in honoring your greats, put them in a ring of honor, whatnot. But when you start to retire the number, it starts to become very short-sighted. Sports are probably going to exist a lot longer than we're going to be on this earth. There's going to be a lot of players that are going to wear a lot of numbers. And then you get into the situation that the Yankees have. There's no good numbers.
The ones I can respect are, like, the league-wide retirement.
Yeah, yeah, I'm fine with that.
Those,
but
I'm like...
But, like, when you start as a team, just put the guys, put the greats in the ring of honor, or literally retire their jersey. Don't retire the number.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
Or make a rule where, like, you can only have, I mean, this is crazy off the head, I'm just thinking, but you can have only five at one time. Like, you have your ring of honor, and so, like, if somebody else come up in another 10, 20 years, now one person got to go out. Because, like the Yankees, we done had so many great players.
It's well, because the original whole point of jersey numbers in baseball was it was with the 27 Yankees. And we didn't know who the guys were because they didn't have numbers on the back. So they started giving out numbers based on their batting order. But that meant every great number was it
1 through 9.
Correct.
Yeah, it was 1 through 9 and then whoever else.
Yeah, Jeter's like the luckiest guy on the planet that whoever wore 2 at that time wasn't an all-time great. But like you've got Babe Ruth in 3, Gehrig in 4, Mantle with 7, DiMaggio was 6, right? Or was it 5?
Whoever it was, I'm glad.
Is DiMaggio 5 or 6?
I think.
Yogi Berra's 8. Like.
I think he wore 5. I'm double checking.
I think so, too. But, like, Jeter just happened to be, like, the one guy that was like, well, there's still a single digit left.
And I'm happy.
Yes.
Well, you know.
5.
He wore 5. Yeah.
Not to say that we're being on Cam Ward, but I kind of understand that because it's like you went number one. You are number one. You know what I'm saying?
You went number one. Well, also, you played the same position.
In the same position. So a lot of that did go together. But, you know, and these kids, as I'm going to be real, they so spoiled. Like my daughter, like she may ask me for something I never would ask my mother for. Like if I see my mother cooking, it's no way I would have been like, hey, not fully feeling your choice today. Can I get some McDonald's? You know what I'm saying? My daughter would still be like, nah, Dad, I want some nuggets. Or you didn't see me cook. So I say that to say he called ALT, and when he said no, now he has the even more nerve. There it is, Bray, to go call Phil.
Yeah.
Most people not even going to do the first one, but that just lets you know how, which is a good thing, I guess, that the kids are outspoken and this and that, but it's plenty of people that wanted to do that just wouldn't have did that.
Like you used to see this a little bit, oftentimes because punters would get like the quarterback numbers. You would see the quarterback gets drafted, he wants the number. All right, buy me a trip to Disney World for my kids.
Yeah, they do that.
And like it's like then you can have like I think Eli and Jay Feagles had that. But the larger problem is like I think we just got to get back to. We got to get back to the
main is it got to be some exception. So I play receiver, right? And I think it looks pretty cool. I think receivers should not just be 80s. They should get single digits also. Receivers.
I mean, for what it's worth, Neighbors also did this with a retired.
Yeah,
number.
I think, was it 8?
1.
Who was retired with 1?
Oh, it was an old time.
Because like that was the other thing. The Giants also had more retired numbers than the organization should
probably
have.
I think anybody should be able to wear 0 and 1 outside of linemen. Because I think
it's still weird for me to see college kids wearing, like for you and I growing up, until you got to the NBA, it was 0 through 5 and you had to be able to make it with 2 hands. So you could either be 0 through 5, 1 through 15, 20 through 25.
So basketball, you know the reason why, right?
Well, it was I don't know.
It was because of the referee.
It's for officiating.
And basketball.
Yeah, but I'm saying like, now that I'm seeing college kids wear 74, I'm like, what?
Yeah, yeah, because they couldn't wear 6 through 9.
Correct.
Because of officiating.
Yeah, yep. So you had to make 2 hands.
Yep. Yeah, been there. I was about to say.
Yeah, yeah, because I officiated too. All right, when we come back, we tell your story quickly. Next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Herod, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. I got to go with Stan Van Gundy last night after Draymond throat-punched Fred Van Vliet. I feel bad for Draymond. I don't think there was anything here. It was all inadvertent. You should just never utter the words, I feel bad for Draymond. Inadvertent or not, everything that comes to Draymond is deserved, and even more so. All right, Coach, appreciate you being in here. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast show after the program ends. For George, for Coach, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. that's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
On my podcast, Aspire With Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire With Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.